Okay, just tell me, how long is this going to take? I need to plan the time. I want to know. I get impatient. How long is this going to take? No, not this, not the podcast, not the video you're watching. The sales process, getting you to say yes, doctor or Mr. Administrator or Mr. Materials Management Director or Value Analysis Committee, how long is the sale going to take? Let's talk about this on today's Medical Sales Guru podcast and the Medical Sales Video Channel. Hello, my friends. My name is Mace Harf, and I want to welcome you to the Medical Sales Guru podcast, the podcast for medical sales professionals. That's you. That's why you're here. A real pervasive issue that's on every salesperson's mind when they begin a sales process, heck, even if they're in the middle of the sales process, is how long is this going to take? But here's the thing. A lot of sales reps don't really have long-term thinking when it comes to the sales process. Sure, we'd like to believe we make a sales call, we make the sale, we move on to the next one, we make a sales call, we make a sale, and you're just racking up this big collection of wins. But if you've been doing this for any period of time, you know that selling does not work that way, especially in healthcare. Healthcare is challenging, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but you have to have the mindset that whenever you embark on trying to sell a product to a healthcare professional or an institution or anyone in healthcare, probably anyone in life for that matter, there are some things that are a quick close. If it doesn't take a lot of thinking, a lot of decision making, they could say, yeah, I'll try it out, I'll evaluate it. But other things, it really has to go through all of this processing that takes place. So what is your job? As the medical sales representative, your job is to keep it not on top of their head, but top of mind. You don't want to put your products on top of their head, but you want to keep it in their head, if that makes sense. Now, let me give you an example from the world that you're probably familiar with. Why do you have to keep going back? Why do you have to make multiple sales calls? Why can't you close something on one sale? Because often it takes longer than that. Have you ever heard of Coca-Cola? Coca-Cola, it's that brown fizzy drink that comes in a rather traditional, artsy-looking bottle. It's been around for a long time. In fact, the bottle is trademarked. Coca-Cola. I don't have a bottle of Coca-Cola here. This is visualize that there is a bottle of Coca-Cola in my hands. And if you're listening to this on the podcast, you're going to have to visualize all of this anyway. Coca-Cola. Is there anybody that you know who hasn't heard of Coca-Cola? Anyone who hasn't heard of Coca-Cola? Probably not. In fact, Coca-Cola is considered to be the most recognized brand in the world. In the world. So let me ask you this question. Coca-Cola, why do they keep making commercials? Why do they run ads on the Super Bowl? Why do they run ads in magazines? Why, when you're driving down the road, you see a big billboard that says, enjoy a Coke? Hasn't everybody heard of Coke? Doesn't everybody know that it exists? And if they want it, you think they'll go to the store and get a Coke. It's because brand awareness is critically important in the consumer world. What about your world? What about your world in healthcare? Is brand awareness important? Of course it is. But it's not only brand awareness, it's also an awareness of you, the sales rep. How often do you bring valuable information? How often do you make a sales call? How often do you engage the healthcare professional where they get to know you and get to feel that you're going to be there for the long term? Because if you're selling certain products, a lot of healthcare professionals want to know that should they ever need you, you're going to be available. This is one of the reasons that things don't happen right away, especially if you're new in a territory. You have to earn the right to get a healthcare professional to try or evaluate your product. Now, something else you know about healthcare professionals, it takes a while to change their thinking and to change their habits. When they find something that works, they stay with it. Why? Because in their minds, it's less risky. If you have something that works, you know, whatever it is, I'm saying, you know, I mean, here's a, you know, a, a light control from in my office, but if I know this light control works, why would I want to try another light control? In the office, it's not such a critical situation, but what if this was a TV studio? What if the lighting had to be 100% dependable? And I have something that works. Why would I try something else when there's nothing wrong with what I have? It takes a while to really develop and convey that compelling reason in healthcare. It takes time. Now, here's something that you probably realize if you've been doing this for a while in healthcare. Most healthcare professionals, on a first call, when they're seeing a product or service for the first time, they don't really give it serious consideration. It's almost like if you see a new car driving down the road and you go, "Oh, that's kind of interesting," and you look away. Maybe the second time you see it, you go, "Yeah, I really like the lines on that. It's kind of sleek. And woo, man, that car is fast." And if you see it enough, you start to become attracted to it. You start to want to know more about it. It's very much the same with healthcare professionals. They're not going to become attracted to your product per se exactly, but when they first see something, it's just the initial exposure. Then they have to see it again. And over time, they start to develop feelings, which could be either positive or negative about the product. And a lot of that is going to have to do with you. Now, something else you know about healthcare professionals, when you're bringing in a product which is dramatically different, maybe it's a conceptually different than what they're using, a lot of healthcare professionals don't want to be the first one to try a product. They want to know that it works. They want other doctors or other healthcare professionals in the community to give it a try first so that they could come in and say, "Well, this has been in use for several months, several years. I know it works. I have a level of confidence. I'm ready to try it out." Another reason why you want to be persistent. You know, keeping products and services top of mind takes work. Now, I'll tell you what's not going to work. What's not going to work is if you come in and deliver the same canned sales speech time after time, because that's the same. That's sameness. In fact, that gets boring. It's boring the second time you do it. In fact, it's probably boring the first time you do it, because I advocate never, let me say that again, never using a canned sales presentation. There's nothing canned about your buyers. There's nothing canned about your decision makers. They all think differently. They act differently. They have different needs, different desires, different goals, different concerns, different levels of risk tolerance. You have to be able to tap into this. But each time you engage a healthcare professional, one of your customers, on one of your products, it needs to be a little bit different. Or it can reinforce what you said previously, but in a different way. Don't bore them. You need to vary your approach. And each time you engage them, this is a question I often ask. I'm going to ask it of you right now. Are you delivering a level of value in the conversation? Now, a lot of sales reps think that, "Well, I can't deliver value unless the customer buys my product, unless the customer uses my product. It's the only way the patient can benefit." I'm talking about the healthcare professional that you're talking to. Do they obtain some value from meeting with you, from spending time with you, giving up some of their valuable day? What's in it for them? Sure, they learn about your product, but are you sharing some information that could be valuable in another way? Maybe some community standards that they're unaware of or would help make them more comfortable. Maybe some information from a recent academy meeting or a college of specialty meeting, where you're sharing information that they may have not have heard before, or sharing a journal article that maybe they heard about it, maybe they saw it, but you're pointing out some things that maybe they didn't have time to realize. You know, are you delivering value in some way? See, I want you to think of this. Selling a medical device, and this is going to seem kind of weird, but it's like trying to win over the heart of someone whose heart you really want to win over. That person you're attracted to, the person you have a crush on, whenever you see them, you know, your heart flutters. If this hasn't happened to you in a long time, maybe you're with the wrong person. Maybe you need to renew your relationship, or maybe you're dead. I don't know. But this should happen. If you're in a relationship with somebody, they should make you feel special in a way whenever you see them. Or let me ask you this. Think about doing without that person. If that person wasn't in your life, how does it make you feel? Anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent here, but you want to win over the heart of someone. You just met for the first time. You just saw for the first time. Now, if you go back to when you were in school, when you were dating in high school or college or even shortly after that, or maybe even in your 30s, 40s, or 50s, whatever it is, a lot of times when you take an interest in a person, they may not have the same interest in you. In fact, that person might not even know that you exist. So what do you have to do? You have to get their attention. And after you get their attention, and if you do this repeatedly, after a while, they recognize you. In fact, they'll learn your name and they'll start to use your name. They'll say, hello, hi, Bob. Hi, Mary, how are you? Great to see you. You're looking nice today. And even in time, they may feel comfortable socializing with you, spending time with you. You know, they're open to conversations. It just develops over time. Now, if you were to ask this person out on a date, the first time they might shoot you down and go, a date? No, I'm sorry. I'm in a relationship. No thanks. I got to wash my hair. The lamp's broken. It's Tuesday. Like some people don't go out on Tuesdays. I don't know what it is, but there are people who won't date on Tuesdays. So you ask them out again on Wednesday. But the point is, the first time they may say no, but if you persist, they may say, what the heck? It's just a date. We'll go out. And then they'll discover something about you that they like or they find interesting or they recognize that you're a good person. And before you know it, romance starts to blossom. And other times, you know, they'll say, you know, I'm sorry, Bob, but I only like you as a friend. And that hurts. But it's reality. It's reality. You know, you have to make them love you. And to do that, it takes helping them to get comfortable, building trust, allowing them to trust you and like you, and maybe find something about you attractive, something that they value and want. Now, a funny thing here is that a lot of people, when in the dating world, they think they have a type. You know what I'm talking about? You might think, well, you might have a type, someone that you're attracted to. I was talking to Joanne, a friend of mine, a couple of weeks ago. And Joanne is just a lovely person, also a speaker. She's amazing, love her, she's great. But she's telling me she's really happy, her life's going really well, and she's in a relationship with a guy she really likes. And she says this, she says, you know what? I'm really surprised because he's really not my type. Now think about that for a second. She's in a relationship with a guy. She really enjoys being with him. She likes him. She's feeling really good. Maybe he's exactly her type. And you may think this too. Have you ever dated someone who's not your type, but you really like this person? You enjoyed being with them? You might have even married this person, or he or she might have married you. Go figure. The point is, people don't always know what they like the first time they see it, or they might think they're attracted to something different, or they like something different. But over time, their perceptions change. The same thing happens with customers who are buying products. You have to be willing to invest the time, put up with the pain of rejection or put-offs, to be able to give them a chance where one day they might say, okay, let's do this. This happens every day in the medical device world, pharmaceutical, life science world, where sales reps hang in there, sometimes for years, until they finally win over that big account. But ask any one of them, when they win over that big account, is it worth it? I think you know the answer. So don't expect to close the sale on the first sales call. If it happens, great. High five, do a dance, congratulate yourself, celebrate your wins. I get it. But if it doesn't happen, you have to decide if you're going to commit for the long term. Because a lot of times, if you're not getting the sale, it's not because there's a problem with your product and it's not because there's a problem with your customer. It's because the salesperson, could be you, isn't investing the time and being persistent enough to be able to attract and diversify the customer's attention in enough ways where they say, hey, want to dance? I think you get the meaning. Thanks for spending some time with me on this episode of the Medical Sales Guru Podcast and the Medical Sales Video Channel. Is that what it's called? I lose track when I'm talking a lot. Anyway, Check out my online 24/7 training program. It's called Medical Sales Academy. It will focus on the skills and strategies that you need to succeed in medical sales. A lot of people are telling me it's the best investment they've made in their career. You might feel the same way. Go to medicalsalesacademy.com and check it out. End of commercial. I'm Mace Haroff. Don't forget, whatever you do in your medical sales career, nothing is more important than who? The patient. You got it. The patient always comes first. You get to do some good. Take the knowledge that I've shared with you today. Go out there and make a difference for healthcare professionals and their patients. I admire you. I respect you. And I'm grateful for what you do. I'll talk to you again soon on the next episode of the Medical Sales Guru Podcast. Bye for now.